If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show. Episode, I don't know, for Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. That's the episode, 290. Yeah.
Well, if you don't name the title of the show,
I mean, we're what?
Whatever craziness this came out of your face, I think you've lost your mind.
10 measly episodes away from 300. Should we do anything special?
Yeah, man. Are we going to like get ripped and take our shirts off and kick people off into pits and go, this is indie gaming news?
Let's do it.
Like that.
Yeah, let's do it. We're going to go all full, I don't know, what would you call that? Full bro radio station mode.
Bro radio.
Yeah, we'll let you know how
bro
that
row.
But yeah, welcome to the show. 290. It's a hell of a day. It's me and Brian. Brian Dunaway over there. I'm Scott Johnson. We're going to do a show. We're going to talk about indies. Right. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a good time. Brian, I played that. Did you play that EA Dodgeball game that's currently free until it isn't?
I saw it and I thought about it and then I said, I don't want to.
What? Why? What about it? Did it turn you off? What was about it? What was going on?
I just, oh man, lately I've just been in this mood of single player Brian. I don't want to deal with any competitive
I feel you. No. And in
a month from now, I'll be like, oh, I can't wait to play all the competitive things. But yeah. For some reason, I've just been kind of, just kind of like, don't touch me.
Well, I played a bunch, and I really like it. It's called Knockout City. And it's an EA, well, it's a studio publishing through EA. It's on Game Pass, so you don't have to pay anything there, I assume, for quite a long time. But everywhere else, like Steam and other places that they have it, it's currently free kind of as a like, hey, let's get playing this thing. And then it's going to be $19 after that. So there's a lot of question about whether, you know, it will continue to thrive, you know, past this little free time. I don't know. Right. But I can tell you, I had a blast. It's not all filled with microtransactions. You earn the shit you get in the game. Graphics are super nice. You throw giant rubber balls at each other. And it's great.
But like, I just got to know, I didn't play it. I didn't even watch anything on it. But I do have to know, when the ball hits you, does it go boing?
Yeah.
Like it makes the big that sound. Red balls do?
Yeah, that peer, like, that kind of like weird rubber. Yeah, just like school.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Boing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that sound is, they have it in there. And you can catch a ball if you're good. And you can... You can, you know, so that way you won't die or whatever. I mean, just think about the way you played dodgeball
in high school.
Did you
catch even one ball, Scott?
All the time. Caught balls all the time.
Really?
I mean, it's not hard.
You're that Scott catching balls right here.
Yeah. But this also feels like their attempt to say, hey, we made a game that's like super fun, like, you know, competitive
Rocket League
or something. Yeah, kind of like that. And they seem, best I can tell from this vantage point, to have made a game where they intentionally are avoiding microtransactions. They are nowhere to be seen in this thing. Right. That doesn't mean they won't, or everybody can be all poo-poo on EA all you want, but it's possible, I suppose. But it feels like maybe they don't want to this time. It feels like maybe they're trying to earn some of that industry trust back.
I'm going to say an ignorant thing.
Say it.
Because I didn't play this at all. But I remember when Rocket League came out, when it first came out, and I played it, and I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself really, you know, coming back here every week or playing it consistently. But then they put the little microtransactions in there, and it actually kept me around a little longer doing all those little cosmetic things.
Well, now it's free, so you don't have to.
Still, yeah. Look at it; it's still there.
Yeah, but if it was a free game to start with, that'd be different. But they changed all that. Epic bought them; it quit being a premium game, so now it's a free to play game.
But no, it still has microtransactions. I was referring to the longevity being part of the cosmetic upgrades.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Because early on, you could only unlock those by playing. Or DLC. Right. So you'd buy like the Back to the Future DLC or whatever and get the Back to the Future card.
Knight Rider. I got the Knight Rider.
But when they stopped selling that as a retail premium product, when you could stop buying Rocket League for $20 and it became a free to play game, that's when they introduced microtransactions. And that's fine. That's fine because that's a free game that you can decide to plug money into. Nobody's complaining about that. What people get pissed about for the most part is when somebody puts out a premium game. And then on top of that, charges for a bunch of extra micro shit in the back end. Nintendo or EA famous for doing that in a couple of really egregious cases, like Battlefield 2. What was the other one that was a real stinker? Mass Effect 3, that sort of thing. But this is just like a $20 game, and I've been through all those menus. There's nothing in there that says anything about nothing. So unless they introduce it later. I think
so. EA has a couple of models like this for their sports type games, right? They have like, so they've got other sports games, and they just every year it's like football 20 to whatever,
football.
Right? So I mean, what's that?
Madden, you mean, right? Madden.
Yeah, Madden for 2022. Yeah. It's going to be next year's game. So are they going to try to capitalize on that kind of ideology? I mean, I just don't see them being able to sell this at $20 and keep a people playing for very long, and I'm probably just being pessimistic. I'm bitching about EA stuff that nobody else is bitching about. Why am I doing that?
I don't know. It's okay. You're just having a, you know, you're having a moment here, but
I'm having a moment.
Free Rangers made a good distinction here that we should probably mention. He says if the microtransactions change the gameplay, that's where the problem is. Cosmetic is fine.
Correct.
No, I agree with that. Correct. And I should have expressed that. Like, I don't have a problem with, for example, Ubisoft's attempts to get micro stuff in their flagship Assassin's Creed games is fine with me because it's all cosmetic. Now, once in a while, they'll sneak something in like, this horse can go 10% faster than any other, you know, like that sort of thing. And that's when you go, now, hold on.
What is this fictitional developer marketer person that you're imitating? I like that.
It's real annoying. So anyway, all cosmetic. No argument for me, even if it's a premium game. But
I didn't even know those any. I didn't even know those any microtransactions in any games that are popular that are anything except for cosmetic. Right? Is there any pay to?
Well, there's all sorts of pay to win. The probably the biggest examples now, because a lot of people hate it.
Like on the phone apps, you usually get a lot of pay to make things easier, but
you're never paying for those games to start with, so I feel like free to play gets a pass on upgrades that cost money, whereas something like FIFA, Madden, and maybe not an NHL, I can't remember. Here's a good one. 2K, we'll get out of EA's apartment for a minute, move over next door to 2K. 2K's got their a couple of games, good examples. Their golf game, which I enjoy quite a bit, 2K, PGA 2K1 or whatever it is. It has microtransactions if you want to use them, but they're all cosmetics.
You know what? That's the one place I feel like it would be okay, because I feel like the professional golfer who can spend a little more money gets a little further. I feel like that fits in with the economy of real life.
Yeah, it more mimics real golf. I still don't think they could get away with it. And there may be a putter or two in there that's got some sort of, I don't know, longer reach or who knows.
Longer what?
Like, you know, like it'll, your putt will go farther or something. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
But in the case of like 2K1's, their basketball game, that's got stuff in there that does affect gameplay. And so people get really mad about that one.
Okay. I didn't know that. I kind of thought for my limited, so I don't play a lot of sports games or games that have a lot of microtransactions.
Sure.
Generally, but I thought people had kind of already, you know, body slammed all the, you know, the publishers out there for any pay to win type thing. So, but it sounds like there still is some pay to win out there. Interesting.
Yeah, it's there. It's just in, and you can usually tell by Steam reviews, like which ones are doing it. Because people get real pissed.
I've seen people do it in cosmetics, and I've seen people do it to speed up gameplay, like, you know, to collect and get somewhere faster, get a little fast pass.
Yeah.
But
that's a people
to actually
mad.
Like, you know, like equipment or things that would improve the person above. That kind of, I didn't even think that was still a thing. I thought that was myth at this point.
Somebody out there have a good example of it. Send it in to us. We'd love to talk about it more on the show. But so far, that EA Dodgeball.
I
want to
be angry about it. Send us something in so I can be angry about it. Brian Rantz.
Just wants to be pissed. I also played a little bit of that Days Gone on PC. It's nice to play that game at a better frame rate than freaking 30 or 24 or whatever it was. More on that later, but that game's rad. It's real good. I'm a fan. The one thing that people don't say enough about Days Gone for PS4 and now for PC is what a good stealth game it is. Like, it's got amazing sneak up and stab a dude in the face stuff going on. And I'm a fan, so more of that, please. Hey, Brian, tell me about your retro pie you got in the mail. It was a whole pie. Somebody sent you a pie.
Send me a pie. You know Hammond. He's on the network. He does stuff with Ibbots.
Yeah.
He sent me a Commodore 64 and a retro pie. Now, I have had a Raspberry Pi before, and I've loaded up a retro Pi on it before as well. And I started to configure it, and it was a big old pain in the butt. But he just sent me this thing, man, and it is already preloaded. This thing is configged, and I really like it. I really need somebody in the future to always handle my Pi related products and just send them to me prepackaged.
That's what I want to do. Fantastic. I don't want to make them anymore. I don't want to. Right. I don't want to go through all that and have to read a thing and do step by. That's like building PCs again. I'm done. I did that. I had in the 90s and the early aughts. That's when I built PCs. I don't do that anymore. No more.
But I love it, and I am overwhelmed because there is so much stuff in there, and I'm like, holy Moses! Look at all of these retro, old school games, console, just all the platforms you can imagine, all just in there. And I'm really looking forward to just putzing around in it. I mean, I'm not going to do any major playing in it, but it is nice just to, you know, throw it up and go, hey, let's play this. I haven't played Super Pac-Man forever.
Yeah, I need to. If Hammond's the one sending you that, I should get with Hammond and finally build my full-size arcade cabinet that I want to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, I got the RetroPie image now. I'm just saying. Hi, Boob Show.
Perfectly legal. Well, that's what that's all about. Now let's do some of this. Hey, look at that. It's time for some retro, not really retro, some indie news. Let's get to the indie news. There's a little bit of retro in here. We'll see how it treats us. By the way, if you want to submit your own stories to the show, you think they're worthy of talking about on the show on a weekly basis, go to boopshow.reddit.com and submit it to the Reddit.
That place is on fire.
It's going crazy. Crazy, I tell you. There's also a Frog Pants one, and I need to get those two linking back and forth more often because that one's also.
You do. I stay involved with that, and I watch. You usually post like old school art a lot of times in that Frog Pants.
Yeah, especially lately. That's what I'm watching. I've really amped my contribution over there. So
yes,
more of that coming soon. Netflix. It's looking more and more likely. The evidence is piling up that Netflix wants to be the Netflix of games themselves. Don't let somebody else do it. Maybe they'll just do it. So they've, you know, fiddled with gaming occasionally. They got their choose your own adventure crap with that Bandersnatch business and a couple other things. But that's probably the most prominent example.
Right.
The streaming giant may be expanding further into gaming with a new bundle for Netflix subscribers, according to several reports over the last few days. It's very similar to Apple Arcade in terms of its model and its sort of games type. Probably use case
right
here.
Good news, indie developers, Apple Arcade, like Netflix of games.
Yes, potentially. We don't know a ton about it because it's a lot of, you know, rumors, and Netflix is, they have not committed to anything. Their plans.
They haven't actually, from my understanding, from what I've read, every time I see a little tidbit come out about it, they're looking for a lead game person. So they're putting together a team. So we're at team building right now, right? So I think they're probably interviewing a couple of people, talking to some people, and seeing if there's good fits. And if there's like some synergy there, that's the words they use in corporate America, synergy.
Yeah.
And then they can maybe put something together that'll move forward. I think they want to have the discussion, and they can't have the discussion without getting somebody in there who knows what they're doing and can look at the models and go, yeah, yeah, or no, no.
Well, my guess is day one, they'll do better than Stadia, and day two, they'll do better than Amazon Luna. And by day three, people take some notice and say, whoa, they're already doing better than those other two. But I don't know if they can ever like do xCloud level, freaking even NVIDIA Now level stuff.
I'm curious how they're going to do this. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be cloud gaming like you would have.
I would assume, right? Streaming, yeah.
That would be the direction to go in.
It'd have to be, right? Because what else are you going to do? Right. You're not going to have some new console.
They don't have like a, you know, hardware system like Amazon does. You know, Amazon, for years, has had their Amazon TV. You could play little indie games on that thing. You could even get a little controller with it, and that kind of morphed into Luna. Yeah. You know, and of course, Google Stadia, which is an offshoot of Chrome, essentially. And they're Chromecast.
Right.
They don't really have a hardware platform to do it on, so they got to do it in the cloud.
Yeah,
right.
That's what they'll do. I'm sure of it. I'm not entirely sure that they won't do this. This seems like maybe something they will do. My guess is the kinds of indies they would normally go after are already on contract for their exclusivity mobile-wise on Apple. And those guys all have like 6 month to 10, you know, to 12 month sort of Apple gets it first, and then we'll go to other platforms, sometimes sooner. But those games always end up on Steam or other consoles. They just can't end up on Android devices. That's part of the deal. So does Apple rework these contracts to say Android, but also Netflix, we don't want you going there for that, unless
they're
going
to get in a real sticky situation once they get to that level.
Yeah, my guess is they'll just do like they do now. Like, if you want to be here, then you're on the hook for 6 months exclusivity, and then after that, go wherever except our competing mobile platform, which in the end may screw them anyway. I don't know. I feel like the early access thing is probably enough for them. At some point, a court may even step in and say, look, you can't force this the way you're forcing it now with mobile exclusivity. And it wouldn't be that big of a deal for them to drop that and keep the timed exclusivity, which everyone does. Sony does that. Microsoft does. Everybody has timed exclusivities. Steam, Epic. Right. Epic does it like crazy right now. So anyway, I'm curious what this would be. Like, who knows if it would be tie-ins to all their popular TV shows? Are we going to get some?
Oh, I definitely think that would be the case. I mean, there's some pretty decent Stranger Things games out there on mobile and on Steam.
Yeah, that Stranger Things retro game is pretty good.
It's retro games, kind of, bit pixel graphics. They're fun.
It was all right. Yeah. I kind of wish they'd have done that. Did they end up putting out the Minecraft Telltale thing they did, right?
No, the Telltale thing. I think that totally stalled when Telltale took a
dumper.
To the nuts.
And they also were doing a Stranger Things game with Telltale, but that also took a dumper.
Right.
Here it is. Telltale's Minecraft story mode did survive.
Oh, did it?
And
now
it's partially playable on Netflix, but that thing's there. But you can play that on a PC or something else.
I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. A Queen's Gambit game. Good idea for your Rangers. Let's get all let's do House of Cards, and then there'll be a whole chapter of that game about sexual harassment getting you fired from your own show. We'll do that.
You really get in trouble when you force something like that, when you say we're going to push a bunch of our IPs and we're going to turn them into games, because, you know, a lot of stories just don't translate well to games because you have to have a nice gameplay hook.
Yeah, but you could see them doing it. You could see them trying and wanting to do what I'm saying. You know what they do. They won't, but they want to. Streaming chess, sure. You can play chess.
What they want is the money.
Yeah, they want the monies. We just want the monies, Homer, he says. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. Konami, may be bringing back its classic IP thanks to indie studios. They may have a few surprises for fans and its classics franchises, as indie developers take the reins, rather, of the likes of Castlevania, Silent Hill, and Rocket Knight sometime in the future. It's hard to think of Silent Hill as a retro game, but I get this point, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. It is at this point, it is retro, and it is ripe for a indie to come in and to give us a new spin on it.
Yeah, they were going to do, what was that one called? The demo turned out to be a teaser for it. What was that called?
Oh,
PT was the thing.
PT, yeah, PT was the thing, right?
But then it opened up at the end with what's his bucket from Walking Dead walking around.
When you're really wanting the hard details, Scott's going to give it to you.
Silent Hills.
What's his bucket? That's what it was. What's his bucket in it? And
that's what it was. Silent Hills is the name of it.
Oh, Silent Hills. That's right. Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Adding an S to your, your new sequel.
Yeah. Alex asked what constitutes retro these days. I don't know. I don't know how many years.
I think it's always been. Well, okay. So for a long time, our generation called it old school. And then it turned to retro. And I think most retro games are any time there's significant visual change. So the PS4 stuff is, you know, I don't think you consider that retro, but anything like the PS3 era kind of games. Right?
I feel like I feel like there has to be some kind of year thing because I don't know what like a moving cutoff.
I think it works, but I think it works more like generations do because we do define generations by years, but really those years represent a cultural shift, something that has significantly impacted those people of a certain age.
Yeah, but then it stays though. That label stays. What I'm saying is I think this is a moving target. So you can have stuff, you know, okay, in the 90s, stuff in the 70s and early 80s would have been considered retro because they were older or old enough to call them that. Did that window just keep moving and everything that passes through the window stays in retro? It doesn't, there's nowhere else for it to go. It's it's now in Metro. So you catch up to the 90s and it's like, well, right now Super Mario World is new, but in 20 years, that game is retro as shit. So it's pushed back on the window that just keeps moving and collecting stuff on the back end. Right. So I think that's kind of how it works. I don't know when that window starts. I have no idea. The 360
makes a good point. Says Scott, go ahead.
I don't think the 360 counts yet. We're not there yet.
Well, I think it can count. I think any games that have continued to be developed or came late in life on a console, I mean, things have already kind of changed. I mean, like,
I'm looking at like Tally says Mass Effect 1 is that retro. I don't think so.
The first one?
Yeah, I just played it and beat it.
Teetering on retro.
But the second one came out less than a year later, so I don't think that counts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, but there was a lot of steps between one and two.
There were. I'm playing two right now and just finished one, so I'm definitely still soaking in it. But I can't look at those and call them retro. Like it doesn't work.
Right. Like this is a fun topic. I like. What is retro? When does it happen?
Does
it happen? It's all relative, right? Einstein nailed it. He said, when it comes to retro, R equals, I don't know what he said.
Maybe it's when you are willing to pay for it again. That's when it's retro. Yeah,
when you have a moment of nostalgia, that's when it is retro. Yeah. That's how we defined old school, is when we had a moment of nostalgia and we elevated that game to some kind of level.
Well, if that's true, then Mass Effect must be retro because that's why I bought the remastered thing because I had serious nostalgia for that series and I'm loving it again. But if I'm honest, it's not that different from modern third-person RPG shooter types. Like it's kind of still the model. It looks a little better now, but not vastly better. It's still kind of in that zone. And I don't think the cutoff can simply be 2D and 3D. I don't think that's fair. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
we'll get emails on this.
By next week, we'll have a clearly defined definition of retro. And I would like to also piggyback on that. And I would like to know the difference, retro v old school.
Yeah, get on that. We need an answer.
Get on it.
Stat. Anyway, watch for some of those games coming potentially. Finally today, King of Seas is out today. I bring this one up because it's an indie I've had my eye on for a while. I have it on Switch. It's probably going to be my game next week. But King of Seas is an action role-playing game set, these are their own words, set in a procedural pirate world. An epic adventure awaits you on your fantastic world, dotted with fights, lost islands, and treasures. A universe that will keep you anchored as you struggle to become the king of all pirates.
They said anchor in reference to a sailing game.
I see what they did. Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't know what this was at first because I was like, you sent that, and I was like, King of Seas. So that sounds familiar. Then I went to the Steam page to look at it, and I was like, I don't recognize this at all. It's because all the material they have on the Steam page looks nothing like the actual game. It reminds me of what they did with Sea of Thieves, because I kept seeing stuff from the Sea of Thieves, and it didn't look like the actual gameplay.
Really?
But if you go look at this game elsewhere, by the way, Team 17.
Yeah.
If you go elsewhere, it's like, oh, this game is like mostly top down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a top down experience. But those are the graphics you're looking at. And there's
all the promotional material is hardly any of us top down, and it definitely doesn't show. It does not show a single one of the cutscenes where they have these highly stylized characters. There's not a single character on this page, and they are some seriously stylized characters.
Yeah, I mean, welcome to the world of promo video versus actual game.
Right.
I mean, that's
not
that
weird.
But
this is like a hardcore cut. It's like, I'm not putting none of that on here. You can forget it. I'm not putting that on here.
What I want is what they're doing, which is a top-down. I do want a top-down experience. I don't want some freaking 3D drive my boat.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. When I saw the trailers and stuff, I was like, I'm not really interested in doing no 3D. But when I saw the top-down, I was like, yeah, I want to micromanage some little ships and like pirates back in the day.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
It looks neat. I'm stoked.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
So I'll let people know next week what I think, because I'm a play it on my Switch. Which I hope it's a decent version of it on the Switch. If it's not, you can always get it for $25 on Steam or elsewhere. And it's not an early access. This is a game that is out.
Yeah. It's just like, hey, we finished the game. Here it is.
Yeah. And the reviews are, so far, really
positive.
Good. listen to some of these. This is one of those that came out as a demo during that demo period when they were doing Steam Days or whatever, and people really liked it.
And there still is a demo too, by the way.
Is there a demo now? Okay.
Boy, yeah,
this must be salad days for you. You must be stoked about all the demos.
I am stoked about it. Oh, look, I have 5 friends who want this game. Scott Johnson's one of them.
Nice. This review says Sid Meier's Pirates in 2021. I don't think that's inaccurate. That's a turn-based game. That isn't accurate.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. I mean, this is action role-playing, right?
Sure. So it's real-time, and it's top-down, and it's RPG, and it's story, and you're leveling up your stuff and getting better equipment and better ships and all that. And that's what it is. That's the game. That's the game I want to play, too. So
but
I'm
look,
stoked.
Look, this is what I think.
Go.
I love
Steam.
17.
Oh.
Team 17 has never steered me wrong. Every game I've ever played from Team 17 has always been at least enjoyable.
Yeah.
I haven't had any big farts with those guys yet, so
yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
been a good relationship with them since
like
I was
Monster Sanctuary last night blew my mind.
Yeah, that
Blasphemous
game's great.
Blew my mind.
Yeah, Monster Sanctuary is great. I love that game.
Yeah,
I'll let you guys know. I think it's going to be cool, and the art style leads me to think that this will be just fine on the Switch. There's nothing too crazy going on here, so I'll let you know. All right, that's that. Now this. Time to talk about the games we played this week, and why not start with this one? I did mention it last week, and I went ahead and played it more, and now I have more stuff to say about it, even though I was out of town for a while when I was hoping to be playing it more. But the game is called Voxel Tycoon.
Voxel
Tycoon.
I'll repeat that again.
Yes.
Voxel
Tycoon. Now, you might think to yourself, Scott, what is this? Tycoon games. I'm familiar with those. How is this similar to a tycoon game? Well, it is one of those, but the defining feature of it is it's mostly a logistics type simulator, management sim. Think of like, kind of a little bit
Tropico?
Like Factorio. No, Tropico's more like city management, city building.
Right, right.
This isn't quite
so
that.
So like Factorio. I'm looking at it now. That looks
a little closer
like,
to Factorio, but more maybe even more so like one of these train games where the whole goal is like, well, you've got factories in this town and you got to get steel production going so you can deliver steel to this other town. And to do that, you need to build roads and railways or whatever. To do that, this guy's spending a lot of time in map mode. I'm trying to get down where it so it doesn't look so shitty.
That is a lot of details and stats on those pages.
It seems like it, but it's not really. That's why his playthrough's bugging me. I think this guy likes to make sure his cameras is out as far as it can be, and he's looking at spreadsheets. That's my thinking.
Oh,
but it doesn't play like that. You can, in fact, get behind the wheel of a little car that's just driving around, and you can kind of get this first-person view if you wanted, just for funsies. you might have gotten from the title that there's a lot of voxels involved, and that's true. The whole world is built on this, like, stylized, low-poly kind of, not Minecraft, but, you know.
I don't know. It's the blocks are a lot smaller than that.
Yeah.
Than any Minecraft.
Yeah. Not only that, it's just, I don't know. It's not even meant to look Minecrafty. It's just, you know, everything's made of voxels. And that means a lot of it is destructible and movable, and, you know, the advantages that voxels give you in terms of your terrain or whatever. It's my favorite part of the game, actually, is the look of the thing. I really like the way it looks, mm-hmm. and therefore the way it plays. If I had any complaints, we're in early access, so, you know, that is what it is. I think the music is awesome, but gets annoying after a while. And part of it is because it's so loud compared to the rest of the game. You got to go kind of adjust it. Not a huge deal. I also think that the road construction is a little unintuitive at the moment, and that will get better. It's a little fiddly, and mm-hmm. they've acknowledged that. These are very active devs. The goal eventually is, if this guy keeps zooming out, you'd see it. There are tons of cities and towns that need you to expand your reach as a freaking tycoon and own all the business everywhere. And the game lets you basically do that. It's not a multiplayer game, but its goal is clearly to dominate the frickin' planet. And my pros this week are amazing graphical style and art direction. I really like the way it looks and feels. And it plays like a tycoon game. You'll know it. If you hear me say tycoon, like Zook Tycoon or freaking Hotel
Tycoon. Did you say Zoot Tycoon or Zoot Tycoon?
Zoo.
Oh, I want it to be a Zoot Tycoon, where I like, you know, I really get into selling Zoot suits.
Yeah, Zoots, you're all about commanding the Zoot suit.
Yeah, the empire of the Zoot suit.
Well, someone's got to make them. People need to buy them. You may as well be the guy that runs Zoot Toot, Zoot Town, Zoot Toot.
Zoot Toot, Zoot Toot. Zoot Toot Toot.
Anyway, there is a little Sim City in there, but mostly it's not about building the cities. The cities kind of already exist. That's what I was going to
say. Usually tycoon games are very specific. It's like a zoo tycoon or mm-hmm. a train tycoon or, you know, a very specific subset of you're specializing.
Right.
And this is more like, looks like you're doing city building. So where's the tycoon part?
Well, you really aren't doing any city building. You're putting some buildings down in cities.
Right.
But you're mostly, the cities are either already there or kind of self-sufficient, and you're just adding things to it. Like, oh, I'm going to put a warehouse here because I need to store whatever material here. And then I need to have it next to a factory that builds, you know, that takes wood and makes it into something else. And then I need to be able to transport this stuff to a city needs the stuff.
Are you attracting people to your area? Like, and is there a happiness kind of meter?
No, but it does grow, but not like SimCity style or I don't know, even SimCity is a bad example. Like those Impressions games that I love so much, like that Nebuchadnezzar game that's out now, or Pharaoh and all that. It's not like that where you're trying to, you know, that's the main goal, is improving the lives of your citizens. That's not really it. This is more about profit and maximizing said profit and owning, you know, owning every possible business chain and logistics chain that exists between these towns and cities. And I found it to be hypnotic. I really like it a lot. And
so, are you Voxafeller yet?
Yeah, I'm Voxafeller Center. We're building that now. Pretty excited about it. we'll see how that goes. But anyway, it's pretty neat. It's currently $24.99 on Steam. Like I said, early access came out on the 15th of April, so it's been out for a bit here, month and a half.
Time for somebody to be the top of the tycoon ladder.
Yeah, get in there, make it happen. What's funny is the developer and publisher are both called Voxel Tycoon, so I have a feeling this is just like a couple dudes.
they've really bought into this one thing they're doing, right? Yeah,
their hot thing. Reviews are really good so far. People dig it. This was also a demo that came out before the game did, and people seem to really react to it well, which means the demo's still there if you want to play it and try it. I like it a lot. Here's their description. A management sim set in the infinite voxel world. That's the other thing. It goes on forever. There's no end. There's no walls. It's just keep building. Mine resources, process them into goods in your custom factories, set up supply chains and passenger routes with a huge fleet of trains, trucks, and buses, and turn small cities into prosperous megapolis. How do you say that?
Megatropolis.
They're saying it wrong here. Megapolis.
Oh, Oh, yeah. I see where they put it. They put megapolises.
Yeah, that's weird. Isn't that weird?
Megapolises.
That's not right.
How do you even say that? Anyway. Melapolisize.
Yes, sure. And then
I see the word now.
Have it's a thriving weird. Economy, they say. So anyway, I think it's cool. And I'm not great at these logistics management type games. But for some reason, this one's sticking, and I'm not sure why.
I was watching the gameplay, and I do like it's kind of more of a minimalist approach towards a lot of the interface.
Oh, for sure,
I kind of like that.
Yeah, especially, I mean, like I say, the voxel nature of it means you can go forever. Like this thing's like an unlimited game size.
And at first, I was critical, like you, where this guy was really zoomed out, but he's doing something that I am very poor at when it comes to these games. I usually end up bunching everything up into like one area.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just limited in my vision, I suppose.
I do the same thing.
But he's actually making some, you know, he's spreading it out a little bit and he's going back in and kind of filling the parts in. So yeah,
he's smart. He's a smart player, this guy, which is why I chose his video.
He looks stupid at first, but he's winning me over. He's winning me over with his. Yep.
You got us with your master skills and your acumen. All right, Brian, let's talk about The Wild. Oh, okay. So again, that's Voxel Tycoon. I will give that, so far in early access, I'll give it 7.5 little tiny cubes out of 10.
Oh, so yeah, that's good.
Voxel Tycoon. People don't like it when we don't mention the game twice or three times, four times.
Yeah, so I'll say I try to mention it as many times as possible now.
Voxel
Tycoon. Matter of fact, you'll be at some point, you're like, okay. We get it. We know the game, Brian.
We know what it is. All right. Tell us about The Wild at Heart, Brian. The Wild.
Oh, The Wild at Heart came out day one release on the Xbox Game Pass this week. And you know what a pleasure I am when it comes to talking about the Xbox Game Pass. Actually, sure. I love it.
I love it, too. I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. All right. So in The Wild Heart, you play as Wake, a sad little 2D drone character ripped from the pages of the storybook. Complete with a bad family life and a desire to escape it. You start your colorful adventure in your own backyard that opens up into the woods that are like right behind your house. I mean, right there. Oh, but first you got to stock up on chips, maps, and a gust buster that works sort of like the Poltergust 3000 in Luigi's Mansion. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally.
You know, I'm talking about a little vacuum cleaner that Luigi puts on his back and he sucks up ghosts and stuff. You kind of have one of those, but there's no ghost involved here. Actually, there are some ghosts, but you can't bust them. Anyway, so Wake is supposed to, you know, he's trying to escape his alcoholic father. So he's trying to run away. So he's supposed to meet his friend Kirby. No, not that Kirby. Just a friend named Kirby. And they're going to make their great escape and they're going into they're running away into the woods. But before he can meet up with Kirby, he runs into a little creature called a Spriteling. He's a cute little Pikmin sort. Remember Pikmin?
Yeah. I remember Pikmin.
Yeah. Well, if you liked Pikmin, you're going to enjoy what I've got to say next.
What if I didn't like Pikmin? What if I really didn't like Pikmin?
Then you probably want to avoid this game. Okay, so the Pikmin, he kind of pulls you into the woods. He's cute. He's like a little cute guy, right? He's like this little cute little sprite fairy looking little thing, little ground fairy running around. And so he introduces it to his creepy wooden armed friend called Graycoat. Graycoat is he then requests that you come into the woods and fight the Never, a fairy tale darkness that menaces the woods.
Does he have a gray coat?
He does have a gray coat, and I keep waiting for him to die and turn into White Coat, but he doesn't do it. Okay, so all of this adventure is set in a beautifully rendered 2.5D watercolor world with lots of robust, earthy tones of color that your character prances about in, kind of like in Don't Starve.
Okay.
Remember how that guy just dances around?
Yeah, I like Don't Starve.
It looks like that.
I like the Don't Starve art. I don't like the game itself, but anyway, continue.
Right. So the Wild at Heart developers, Moonlight Kids, have found a way to really, really, this really well-crafted, combine the following elements into their game. So there's kind of a Pikmin-like progression where you're collecting all these little spritelings with a little bit of Zelda-like exploration with art that is kind of reminds me of like Where the Wild Things Are, that little the children's book.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of these developers, obviously children of the 80s and 90s, because they have so many pop culture references through this game completely. And then they use something that I end up running into a lot in these indie games, which is a popular indie game story trope of dysfunctional families, because they're modern fairy tales, right? You're trying to get away from and go on adventures. That's what you do. And there's also just a little bit of the Breath of the Wild crafting, you know, where you kind of combine stuff together and you kind of go, oh, that makes this recipe.
Do my weapons break or no?
Your weapons do not break because there's really no weapons to speak of. The weapons are these little spritelings. The spritelings are wood folk, little short little wood folk like Pikmins. And they're, most of them are based on different elements. So when you first start, you get like a little woodling. He's made out of, he's kind of like friendly to wood, and he can kind of clear out areas that you're trying to explore too. So like if you need to get past a poison mushroom, he's on it.
Yeah.
You just pick up your little guy, your little spritling, and you throw it.
He's friendly to wood, so he's going
to. He's friendly to wood.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can throw this guy. Or multiple of these guys. That's what I really like to do. I like really like loading up. Like if you play Pikmin, you know, you kind of, as you go along, you keep getting more and more of these little spritelings.
Sure.
And you start creating this horde, you know, this little herd of little guys.
Yeah.
And you can activate these guys by tossing them. Now, the little spritling AI is pretty smart. He'll go to work on anything you throw him at. If you throw him at something that needs to be cleared out of the way, if he gets close enough, he activates, starts clearing it for you. And you can keep on exploring. Or if you need to collect some resources, which you'll want to collect some resources because eventually you'll locate a camp. And once you locate that camp, that's when you can get into that crafting I was talking about.
Gotcha.
Right. So there's a bunch of camps. There's the main primary base camp that you'll locate. And then there's a bunch of smaller camps in each of the areas that you're going to explore. So those camps also usually are attached to some portals where you can easily and quickly navigate between areas of the map. And the reason why that's important is because this is very much like Zelda. You'll run into an area. It's not really like Metroidvania. It's more like Zelda. You'll get to an area where you're exploring and you can't get through there because you don't have the power glove, right? You can't lift something. You can't do something just yet. And so you'll have to backtrack.
Right. And he's come doing back it now later. In this video. I can see it. He had to go find a windmill thing that would then open
Correct.
The gate. Now he's got to go back to open
right.
the gate.
Yeah. So he has to. So he's got his little vacuum cleaner, and he'll come across these windmills from time to time, where areas are gated off with these wood fences. And so sometimes that's the way you do it. Sometimes you have big, large blocks of things that you have to get out of the way, and it'll tell you when you walk up to the block. It's like you have zero of 20 spritelings, and if you have 20 spritelings, you can throw them at it. They'll all get up to work, and they'll heft that thing up and move it for you, which is good because Wake is a weakling. He can't do anything. He can kick a couple of trash bags until scrap falls out, but that takes a really long time.
Sure.
You can throw any little spritelings at it, and they'll make short work of it.
Now, do you say portals or porn holes? I don't know how I heard that
they're
right.
They're porn holes.
Okay,
porn holes. That's the only reason why this game is rated R, but no. So, portals. Okay. I'll start pronouncing that T for you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll buy another T. So, portals.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. There is a day-night cycle in this game, too, speaking of portals, because you'll find yourself often in an area exploring, trying to solve these puzzles that are kind of, most of the puzzles are pretty simple. You know, it's like you'll walk up to something and it'll say, you need to, put X number of your spritelings on this platform, like, 5 so that it can open this gate, and then you'll have to throw 5 more on another switch so that you can open this gate. So the puzzle solving's there, but most of this game is about exploration and revealing more story, because not only are you revealing story about your own history, you're also revealing story about these green shields, which are these guardians who I'm talking to right now. Greatcoat.
He's
the first green shield that I met.
Yeah.
They're trying to get rid of the Never, which is kind of like, you've seen the Never Ending Story, right? That darkness that just slowly covers the land. You've seen Fern Gully, right?
Oh yeah.
We're the Never in that. The humans are.
Yeah.
We're terrible.
We are the worst. Look at us creeping over everything. Yeah,
I know. We're creeping and killing stuff. But so you continue on your adventure here, revealing story bits about the green shields and more about your spritelings and what's going on in the woods and how it relates to your own personal story. And eventually, you will get an opportunity to meet up with your friend who you wanted to meet at the beginning, Kirby. And she has her own special abilities, and she gets, I think it's a lantern of some sort. Anyway, it's able to drive back some of the blight that the Never is, like, spreading throughout the woods, the deep woods. By the way, this game is called The Wild at Heart. And so easy, just right there, just in case you didn't know it. So you're trying to help the Green Shields get back to full form because they're the protectors of the woods and you're trying to get rid of the Never. Oh, by the way, they're talking about the shiny rock. This game is really good about not being intrusive with the interface. So the shiny rock allows you to call home in case you've forgotten the task at hand. You can actually call one of the task givers and they'll give you a little hint or a tip. It's usually not going to give you like no big tip or anything, but they'll just give you a little gentle reminder of what you're doing because it's real easy to get lost because a lot of times you have to be on one side of the map and then to unlock a certain area there, you have to go all the way back to the other side of the map. And so it's real easy to get distracted because while you're trying to explore, there's slimy blobs, there's rhino beetles that look like they're mushrooms, but then they pop up when you walk up too close to them. You have to start throwing spritelings at them and hopefully defeat them quickly. And some spritelings, like I said earlier, they represent different elements. So let's say you have an ember spriteling. They're able to fight like ice bad guys. Mm. So you may come across a rhino beetle who has got a ice mushroom on his back. And so he's the one that does it. Otherwise, those freeze your guys, and then you can't use them unless you suck them up.
That's no good. You need your guys. Good. Yeah.
You need your guys. You got to have your guys because if you lose your guys, like I said earlier, you're going to be unlocking things that will allow you to get more. I don't know if I said this or not. But anyway, back at camp, you can do upgrades to your character and your equipment, and you'll be able to control more of the spritelings.
Yeah.
And that's important because, like I said, you can't get to certain areas until you get to a certain place where you can, you know, pull out 35 of them. By the way, you can have it like, I think the most I've seen so far is like around 40 or so.
Yeah.
At least that's how far I get. And that's a lot of dudes hanging around your feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would totally trip over all these guys. I can't even handle my two cats I have in the house.
Yeah.
I don't know how the crap we're going to have all these guys.
Pain in the ass, those cats.
Pain in the butt.
All right.
But anyway, yes.
It looks neat.
It is neat. I didn't even get to all the crafting. Oh, my God. I could just talk about this game forever.
Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I totally forgot to play some audio for mine. I'm not going to. I'm going to play yours instead. Here, listen to this. Some audio from Wild at Heart. It's whimsical.
Very whimsical. Here.
Oh, geez. How about this part? You guys hear the whimsy? I can hear the whimsy in that. There's a lot of whimsy in there.
Now, I chose a whimsy point. Now, unlike your game, Voxel Tycoon, this game goes to great effort to make each area and each mood match the music. So they have a separate soundtrack and they always seem to have the right mood for every area in. So if you're in an area that needs to be whimsical or fun, it is that. If it is starting to, if that day night cycle is starting to hit and it's starting to get nighttime, they'll change the variation on that. And it's a good audio cue to know, oh, it's time to get back to camp. Cause if I don't, the Never's going to start chasing me. Did I mention that the Never chases you?
You did.
The Never chases you at nighttime.
Yeah,
and that's bad. Because that guy, he will kill your little guys, right? He'll kill your little pixel guys. He'll kill them.
Yeah, he'll murder them.
He'll murder them dead, and they'll float away like little ghosts. And you'll go, oh, no. By the way, these little spritling turds, as much as I love them, I also hate them. Because there's a – so, okay, so you're running around these guys, and as long as nothing's happened,
yeah,
you know, they'll all stick to you. They're very, you know, they're tight formation.
Sure.
But if you get in a battle, you may throw one and he may get in an area that's kind of too far away to be attracted back to you and too far away to be attracted to the, you know, to the task at hand, and they'll just stand there.
Yeah.
And you won't notice, and you'll walk away, and suddenly you'll look down at your stats and you're like, oh, I'm missing like two spritelings. You can pull your map up and you can see them on the map and go back and get them. Yeah. However, if it's getting late and dark, you know what? That spriteling's gone, because I'm going to go back to camp and I'm going to tell them to dismiss the idols.
Yeah.
And they're going to go, and you'll have to go get some more seeds. So you can, there's spriteling seeds, yeah, out in the world.
Yeah.
And you,
when a mommy sprite loves daddy sprite very much,
right,
it makes a sprite.
And so you
seeds.
Do that. So you go out and you collect some more sprite seeds, and you bring them back, and you make some 7-Up. You make some sprites out of them, some more spritelings.
I see what you did there, the sprite and the 7-Up. That was good.
Right. But there is a fine balance between what you keep in your inventory, because you only can deploy so many at a time. But as you upgrade, you can deploy more. But like if you're going to go into a fight with like some ice baddies, you don't want to bring a bunch of wood guys, wood sprites. They're not going to be effective. So you got to bring your ember sprites.
Never bring wood sprites to a fire or a ice fight. That's the right phrase.
And so you do that. You do a lot of that with the guardians of the woods. But then you also later game, you get to do some mythical creatures and stuff that you have to go talk to and get a few more power. Anyway, the point is, this game is a solid game. It is on the Xbox Game Pass. It has done something that a lot of the indie games that I've played that are kind of cute like this,
yeah,
they've actually made solid gameplay. This thing is polished. Mm. It works well. And the things that are glitchy are glitchy fun.
Okay. You know? Well, give me a review. What would you
put? 8 dead beat dads out of 10. I'm running a ways forever and I went too long and Scott's got to go to do his stream.
Don't worry, we're still good. Don't you stress. All right, so the game is called The Wild at Heart.
The Wild at Heart now on Xbox Game Pass for developers Moonlight Kids, and it is on Steam for $24.99 or part of the Xbox Game Pass.
Very nice.
It's a meme.
All right, check it out. It's time for us to play Guess My Game, where we take an old game that is old and we talk about it. Mine's about 12, 13 years old. No, hold on. Oh, no, that is about that now. Oh, geez, that's crazy.
Is that retro or old school?
I don't know anymore. 2008. It was a multi-platform game at the time. I played it on 360, but your mileage may vary. That is your hint. Here is your sound. See if you can figure it out. Here you go.
Isaac, it's me. I wish I could talk to you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about everything. I wish I could just talk to someone. It's all falling apart here. I can't believe what's happening. It's strange. The little thing.
This last part.
How many times you watched that thing? Guess you really miss her. Don't worry, we're almost there. You'll be able to look her up once we're on board.
All right. Any guesses?
That sounds like BioShock to me.
You would be incorrect. Any other guesses? You get three guesses. I'll give you another hint since you got that wrong. That's how this works. Published by Electronic Arts.
Okay. Then it's Madden 2008.
Your final hint. There were three of them.
Sequel. Okay, so I thought it was BioShock.
This audio is from the first one, but there were three ultimately made. Chat room got it. Let's see if you can get it.
Okay, I want to look at chat. Okay. Only thing I was playing this time that went to sequels that was so story heavy with people talking was this BioShock and Dead Space. That was the only two that I really remember that had all that.
Is it Dead Space? It's Dead Space.
Woo! Is it Dead Space? Woo! Yes.
Yeah, well done. It's Dead Space. Dead Space 1 in particular, and that game scared me, but 2 is the one that really got its teeth in me and made me want to die.
Right. It was definitely sci-fi in nature. You could tell it from the audio clip.
Because you're getting
on ships.
It didn't
sound like horror, but it sounded like one of those pseudo-horrors, which is kind of... Yeah. I remember Dead Space being scarier than that, though.
Well, that was just the start.
You sure it wasn't BioShock?
Positive. That was just the starting dialogue, but that game got pretty freaky as you went on. And
it did.
And 2 in particular, 2 really got under my cheese and melted it. It was bad.
Yeah. I never played 2.
All right, I'm going to play yours. Your hint here I see is 1990 and from Atari of all companies.
Yeah, 1990 Atari from all. And this I played in the arcade. I'm not saying it wasn't other places. I'm just saying that it was, I played it in arcade.
All right, let's play it and find out. Atari, you say?
Atari.
That is a Genesis chip sounding ass soundboard.
That's probably the most familiar part of it.
I don't know, dude. I don't freaking know. It's some kind of beat 'em up.
It is a beat 'em up.
Like a side scrolling beat 'em up unit deal.
Right, and a chat room did get it. At least one person in the chat room got it. And it was inspired in part by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, really? All right. Yeah. Let me give you my first guess, and then you can give me a hint.
A movie? What's that?
I'll give you a first guess here.
Right.
Oh, this wasn't that. A movie. This wasn't this. This wasn't.
No, it wasn't based. It wasn't like, oh, this is the video game based on the movie. It was like, hey, look at this movie. We should make a game this like that, but not pay anybody.
Like Bloodsport kind of style or something?
Yeah, like Bloodsport. That's the game. Bloodsport.
Wait, this is the game? Bloodsport?
No, it's not the game Bloodsport.
Oh.
But it is a video game based on that whole.
Okay, so it's nice. So they made a game that was a lot like Bloodsport.
Right. Because that was the hotness at the time.
Okay. Well, I didn't get my buzz.
And if you looked at it, you would kind of think, is this that Mortal Kombat kind of technology? Because it looks like Mortal Kombat.
Oh, so it's photo or it's frame capture, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
Forgot that's called.
They put actors in front of green screens and they captured them and they.
Death Magnet.
Death Magnet. You got it.
That's not it.
Is that your second or third
hint? Give me my last hint. You got one more hint?
Let me see here. At the end of every fight, if you won, you would be standing on a forklift and you would go up.
Shut up, really?
With cash that
what?
Went to your feet.
Oh, that's really a strong memory.
Yeah, that's why I said that the money counting was so loud in the arcade. That's the reason why I remember this game.
Money elevator. I have no idea. What is it?
Pit fighter.
Oh, pit fighter. Gosh dang it.
Pit fighter. You are the pit fighters fighting in the back alleys of.
Ah, shit. Hold on. Did the chat get that right? Yes, they did.
They did. Several got that right.
Ah, Tondragosa, I think was first. Yeah. Well done. Nice job, everybody. I feel like a dummy when I get that wrong. I remember that game.
If you watch the little video, you'll be like, oh, God, of course, Pit Fighter. Yeah,
I totally remember it. Game. It's just been too freaking long is what it's been.
Yeah.
It's been so long. All right. Instead of doing an email today, we're going to do a reminder, though. You can still send us your emails. Send us your emails. Boopshow@gmail.com. Instead, we're going to give away a contest winner because you guys over on our Reddit page submitted stories that you thought were freaking funny. And Brian, we have a winner.
Yes.
How did it go? Who won? And okay. I know a few came close because you and I kind of had the same list, but let's go through.
Right. So here was the idea. We wanted to know. I asked the question on the Reddit, the Boop Reddit. I said, do you have a story about that one time you ruined everything by trying to eat, drink while gaming? Give us your story if you have one. And we did. And we had a top three here, but we're just going to go with the top one. We're going to give away three games to Turkey Horseshoe. And you can head over to Reddit and just look at the contest. Had a great tale to weave of destruction to their hardware.
Yeah.
Thanks to food or
and
drink.
You ruined everything. Case, turkey, yeah, just jacked up your life because you dumped a Coke on something or whatever.
Yeah. So Turkey Horseshoe, there's the winner. And then our number two was Balls 93 and then Grizz 616. Those were all great stories. They were all great stories, but those are my top three. And Scott agreed. And so I'll be notifying Turkey Horseshoe in the... In the Reddit.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
In the Reddit.
American Fugitive, Cook Serve Delicious, and Big Little Workshop, or Little Big Workshop. Amazing quality content games right there. Those are very
good. And we'll be doing more. We'll be doing more contest there. If you have a contest idea, send them to the, what was it again,
boopshow@gmail.com, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to give away some of these game codes, man. We got some game codes. We want to give them away.
Yeah, we got codes. We're going to give them to you, but you got to do a little work for it, like tell us funny stories. So there you go. Next time we have a contest, we will make sure to let you know well in advance so you know what you're up against. Okay? And join the Reddit. Why not? Go over there and check it out. It's over at boopshow.reddit.com. Super simple. That's going to do it for the show today. Big thanks to everybody for showing up. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is that email address. Once again, you can follow us on Twitter @boopshow. Brian's @TheBrianDunaway. I'm @ScottJohnson. And why not throw us a Twitch follow while you're at it? You can find that over at twitch.tv/BrianDunaway or /frogpants. Either way, get you there. Stick around after the show today if you're here live and you'll watch me play Resident Evil 8 for my live stream. Part 2. Yeah, part 2. John Jagger will be joining me. We're going to be playing. It'll be fun. And we're only a couple hours into that game, so we got a lot left to do. Brian, anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Next week, I'll be playing either Insurmountable or maybe a Lacuna, a sci-fi noir adventure. But if you follow me on Twitter, I usually post what I'm doing. Or if you're on the Discord server or on the Reddit, whatever. Just, you know, internet.
Whatever. No, I feel you. By the way, this week's film sack will be the brand new Army of the Dead by Zack Snyder movie. So we're watching that thing on Netflix like the week it comes out. Well, I guess it came out last Friday, but less than a week. And that's the soonest we've done anything on this show.
Anything.
Except for Force Awakens, but that didn't count because that was theaters. It was different.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to be doing that this weekend, so check that out. In the meantime, everyone have a fantastic week. Stay out of trouble, play lots of video games, and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam. I love steam.
Destroy them with lasers!